Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And because we come to you on so many digital outlets, we'd ask that you'd share far and wide what's going on. Our fight has just begun with the election of Donald J. Trump, assuming he can take office. Listen, we got to still move forward. Trump has only given us a chance to establish a foothold from which to launch the taking back of our country. So again, please share. We have a lot of people still to wake up. Our guest in this segment is, well, you know who he is. You can see him if you're on video. Okay. But we've got Paul Preston with us, and he's the head of the New California Movement, founder and so forth. And there's going to be significant developments with this, I predict. But before we go to Paul, just let you know, we're coming to you from, excuse me, from the Noble Gold Studios. And I got to tell you, the world is going gold. Silver is going to go absolutely crazy. And just because Trump is elected doesn't mean the climate mitigation programs across the planet are going to stop. Silver is the primary ingredient. And what they can do for you is get your retirement out of the failing banks. And they're all in trouble right now. And Donald Trump has a monumental task ahead of him. It's not flip a switch and it's okay. The banks are in big trouble and they're going to have to be reorganized. And that's a whole different story in itself. But why get caught up in the controversy? Why risk losing your money? Because of Dodd-Frank 2010, you are in second place. You're an unsecured creditor by law, and they can take your assets in the bank whenever they want. Don't let them do it to you. Noble Gold can fix this for you. I'm a customer. I have been for 7 years. I've been an advertiser for 8. And there's a reason why I keep going back to Noble Gold over and over. Now, the federal government would have me tell you, and I offer this in good faith, that any investment carries an inherent risk and there are no guarantees. I agree with giving that warning, absolutely. But I'll tell you, the warning should extend to the banks. It's dangerous to keep putting all your assets in the bank. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. And I'm going to send you a free information packet that goes into more detail than what I've just told you, but it's in layman's terms. You'll be through it in less than 5 minutes. And then the number for Noble Gold is there for you to call, and be prepared to close your own deal because they are specifically trained not to lead you into buying anything. They are there to facilitate. I was shocked the first time I had the, okay, I'm ready. Oh, you want more, Mr. Hodges? How can I help you? I'd like to close this deal now. Okay. And that's how it's going to go for you. Just be prepared for that. You will get absolutely no pressure. DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, you guys know Paul Preston, one of the most popular shows out there, Agenda 21 Radio. Paul has a long history, a stellar history of an educator, from a biology teacher to principal to superintendent of schools. And then he became concerned about his country and he went to work like so many of us with Agenda 21 Radio. And then when things went to hell in a handbasket in California, he said, we got to separate. And he started New California. And with the election of Donald John Trump, this is now becoming as close to reality, I think, as it's going to get. And I think that the deal could be closed in this. We could be talking. I'm going to call him the governor. Now, he's never said that. That's my statement, the governor. But he very well could be the governor of America's 51st state, and it's his tireless efforts through thick and thin. And there's been a lot of thin, and I've been with Paul through this, most of this process. And I got to tell you, I'm so excited, because what we'll get is this. We'll get two conservative senators, and we'll get representatives that would equal the 20 million people that would go with this movement. Paul, I'm really happy for you, my friend. I'm glad you could join us. I just wanted to ask you a little history, and I don't think I've ever asked you this. California, New California, the birth of it, was it a reaction to the failed Jefferson movement and the takeover by groups like the CIA?
Actually, it was a reaction to circumstances that I saw even well before Jefferson came into my picture. And when I started all this, I was still in education. I was an educator. I was a vice principal in the Placentia Yorba Linda Unified School District. And I had a student that I was given specific assignment by the principal and the parents. If I so choose to do it, and I was a brand new administrator, and I said, Of course, I choose to do it. And the principal was a fantastic principal, and he saw the insight, and he asked me to come alongside the Evans family. They were the family that produced Janet Evans, the swimmer of the Olympics, who were in the 1988 Olympics, and also the Atlanta Olympics, which she actually brought the Atlanta Olympics to Atlanta. And many people in Atlanta don't even know that, but it was only her who went into the final committee to close the deal for the 92 Olympics, and only her who persuaded it. And she was very, very proud of that. That's why she ran with the torch and gave it to Muhammad Ali. And remember that. So that was her who ran up there. But it started with her, and what it was she was a very, very popular swimmer. She had world record times, and we knew that she was going to the Olympics. I didn't even know her at the time. And I was called into a meeting with my principal and says, "Paul, I have a specific job for you to do. And we want you to basically be the minder, if you will, for one of our students. And her name is Janet Evans." I had no idea who Janet was. I worked with the leadership kids, and they were all over her. They knew exactly who she was, but they had their own little worlds too. They were all swimmers, by the way. Most of the kids in my leadership class were swimmers. I didn't even know that for a long time. But then this name popped up, so I asked my ASB president. I said, "Who's this Evans?" He goes, "What? You don't know who Janet is?" "Nah, no idea." And kids are—they have their own little worlds and everything. And but one thing led to another, and I quickly, in about 30 minutes, figured out what was here, and that she had several world records in swimming, and she had been to the Pan Am Games, and she'd actually been to the Goodwill Games in Moscow, which she crushed the Russian swimmers as a 15-year-old kid, and she weighed like 90 pounds, and I was like, "Going, you got to be kidding me." And then, so I went out to the pool and watched her swim, and I'm going, "This is a phenom right here." And I am supposed to now have some responsibility. So we worked with the parents, we worked with her, and we wanted to make sure that she could get the best education she could get in high school and have a high school experience, and that not be bothered by the media or the people bothering her. And so that was where it all started. And she went off to the Seoul Olympic Games, and she got three gold medals, two world records, and absolutely crushed the East Germans. And so when she came back to school, we had already been celebrating and everything because school was open. And at the time, they had the Olympics late that year because of the weather in Seoul. And so she came back to quite a reception the very first day. The world was there. We had the blimp, we had helicopters, we had the media just did a real press. And I'd been taken a lot of media calls, a lot of heat for months in advance. And so I became sort of a surrogate press reporter or press agent for her. And dealing with so many different things. And of course, the Olympics, they had some limited stuff going on for her. But when she came home, it was an absolute crush of people that wanted to see her. And in the meantime, the subtext of all this was, as I was being called every name in the book, and she was being called every name in the book by the media out there in the Soviet Union, because the Soviet Union was still in place, and East Germany was in Italy. All the communist states were using my name, using her name, because I was the representative, and were evil capitalists, and she was a drug addict who had a heroin addiction. She had AIDS, and she was so small that, of course, didn't explain why she crushed the East Germans, who were all roided up. Remember, that was the whole thing, that they always used steroids, and they did. But she stood amongst them and crushed them with, as a clean person. So when she came home, it was a media crush, and I made the decision after some, even people in the administration telling me, "Just stay away from it, let it unfold, don't get involved." And I said, "Well, I'm already involved, you know." So one of the things I did is I made the decision, and I talked to some of my students, and I said, "I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to take CNN, and I'm going to place them right outside the door of Jim Dispenett's classroom." Jim Dispenett was a English teacher, great English teacher. And I'm going to place it right outside the door. He had an outside door and an inside the building door. And so they put their camera right up. This is 1988 now. And so at 8 o'clock, the bell rang and she comes walking in just like any other kid. Now, mind you, it's not what she walked to school that day. We had set it up so we had a car picking her up to take her in because of the media presence. It was just all over it. And so I'm sitting there. She's supposed to be at school by 7:30, right? And so I'm sitting here in my office and there's helicopters, there's all this stuff going on. And so I called the Evans. I said, Barbara, I said, where's Janet? We sent the car over. She says, Paul, she decided to walk to school. And I said, what? And so I look out my office and I can see helicopters slowly moving.
Oh my God.
And they were following her in the with the helicopters. It was hysterical. And so then she comes marching up to the school with a phalanx of people, a couple hundred people following her in cars and all that stuff. And I said, oh my God. So we put her in the classroom. She walked in and CNN filmed it. It was live. And so at about 8:30, I got a call. I was getting calls from all over the world, but this one call was a person who always called, and he was a German man, and it had a really strong accent, and he was very, very critical, very, very critical of Janet and everything that we were doing and everything that, I was listening to him, and he said, well, this is a farce. She didn't really come to school. You guys are lying. It's all pro. And I said, no, it really happened, and so I just kind of sat there for a second, and all of a sudden he starts crying. He just starts crying on the phone. And I'm like going, well, where's the beast here? He's crying. And I said, is there something I can help you with? And he said, you don't seem to understand. He said, my dream of communism is dead.
Yeah.
And
Well,
I
that's what
said,
we need to do that here.
and I said, well, okay. So that prompted a lot of things. And then I realized we were on the worldwide stage there and we had an impact. And, so it just so happened about a month later, a month and a half, excuse me, a year and a half later, not even a year and a half, a year and a month, the Berlin Wall fell. So in that medium time, that inner medium time, I got a lot of communication of what was going on in East Europe and the sense of things. And I knew that we had had an impact and I knew I had to find out what that was. So I went to Germany, East Germany in 1992 and researched the collapse of communism. And realized in that research that I did, I met with people that were very high places. One of them recommended I go to the Church of Saint Nikolai to find out really what caused it. But the other one was that I was to go to visit the Führer bunker, that someone could tell me something there at the Führer bunker in Berlin and right next to the Brandenburg Gate. I'd already been to Berlin. I'd already been there about 18 days beforehand. Didn't find anything about how the collapse of communism took place, but I got some clues. And when I went to the Berlin Führer bunker, I ran into a guy by the name of Christoph Neubauer. And Christoph Neubauer was a preservationist, a historical preservationist who was telling the story about why we should preserve the Führer bunker. So we're standing out there in no man's land, like it used to be pictured in. Great open area and with battle damage and all this other stuff. You had concrete, you had granite chunks from buildings. And I said to him at the time, I said, well, what happened to Adolf Hitler? And he told me the story, how he escaped. And that story is documented now, and that was in 92. So he's telling me this
Wow.
story then. It's documented in the Hunting Hitler series because he contributed. He's a major contributor to the Hunting Hitler series. And so I said to myself, oh, this guy's kind of, maybe he's a Nazi and he's not telling me the truth, because everybody knew that, Hitler died in the bunker. And of course he's telling a completely different story. And, it was then I realized that, as I started to put the pictures of the pieces of the puzzle together, that the United States was at risk. I could see it with the schools. I could under, I, it was a very clear picture that the totalitarians had their eyes on the United States. And so when it did collapse and the wall came down on September, I think it was November 9th, 1989, I knew that I had to do something. And then when I visited East Germany in 92, I knew that we had to do something to prevent what's happening today. And that's, of course,
Wow.
takeover by
So
the Nazis.
this goes back. Did you ever hear from the Reagan people when you were involved in all this?
We did, yes.
I figured you would,
Yeah.
because that was
Ronald Reagan was still the president.
yes. And that I could see why they would take a lot of interest in what you did. So I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but I got to ask you, you piqued my curiosity. Where did Hitler escape to?
He went to first he went to Portugal, then he went to Spain, the Canary Islands, and then off to Argentina.
Okay.
But then he didn't end there. And the movie, or the show, documents it absolutely accurate. The Hunting Hitler series, that did an exquisite job on that. I also had a lot of help from Peter LaVenda. Peter LaVenda's book called The Rat Line, How the Catholic
Exactly. Yes.
Church is got everybody out. But also the hours and hours and hours I spent on the phone with Peter LaVenda. I did a 6-hour interview one time. He was so gracious. He was a Nazi hunter, is what he was. But he wrote those two definitive books. The other one was called, you had the Rat Line, and then you had the Hitler Legacy, because he's the guy who found out that Hitler actually lived after confirmed affirmative evidence that Hitler did live. And he tracked him down when he died, after that, when he found out about it in Indonesia, Surabaya, Indonesia. It's very well documented now.
Oh, I'm
And
sorry. I heard he died in what, 1970, I think it was.
1970,
Yeah.
and the agreement at the time was, there was a Third Reich still going on. As long as Adolf Hitler was alive, there was a Third Reich, and the agreement by all the generals and everybody else in the Catholic Church was that when Hitler died, that the Fourth Reich would begin. The Fourth Reich would begin that following January 1st. Well, that was January 1st, 1971. And if you take a look at all the different patents that are out there, and all the different patents and so on that were taken out for pharmaceuticals and stuff like that, like Pfizer, like all the ones, the bad guys that we know, they did everything on January 1st, 1971. You just have to kind of look down the list, and you'll see all the usual suspects that we have today that started on that whole thing. And but you know. Anyway, the other thing that came along with that was, of course, the United Nations Agenda 21. And that was the plan. That was Hitler's plan. And that was Hitler's plan all along. Hitler had created a plan, and the Nazis had a plan for invading the United States of America. And that plan was, we're seeing right now, being executed. This plan is Hitler's plan. It's very clearly identified in the movie Hunting Hitler. You have to have some background knowledge and nuances that I've got, because I was there at the bunker and I was there at the places. I traveled around Berlin, spent the whole day and night, at night during the rainy storms and stuff, going to places around there to verify what I'd been told by Christoph Neubauer. And it was very interesting, obviously. Went to the Berlin Stadium where the Olympics were, which was fascinating. And just being around it was fascinating, but the people were even more fascinating, that if you asked them a question, they didn't want to respond to. But I learned that clearly the United States was in a potential free fall, and I could see it. And I saw the whole thing
Yeah,
play out in the 90s.
you're right, Paul. When we look back, my dad worked with captured German scientists to
Yes,
reverse
I know. Yeah.
their theoretical physics.
That's Operation Paperclip, which
Exactly.
was another big important item to this whole story.
It's amazing. I'll tell you what is amazing to me. He before he died, and he knew he was dying. He came to me and says, "Until your mom is gone, because she'll lose my pensions." He had two of them. He said, "You cannot talk to people about this. You can never go public." And he told me all that he did. But I'll tell you one thing he did, and he's so accurate. You've interviewed Jerome Corsi. I've interviewed Jerome Corsi, and he's talking about CIA implantation of fake voters, totaling about a third of the voter rolls.
Right.
Seen proof of it now in Colorado's mishap. Arizona went through it. And Jerome Corsi's right on the money. Here's what my dad said in 1985. He said to me, he said, "We have imported Nazis in key positions, and it wasn't just Wernher von Braun." He said,
Right.
"One day, the overthrow of this government will be perpetrated by the CIA. It's an agency for hire."
Right.
And he said, that what will end up happening is we'll go down the road of totalitarianism, spurred by the CIA. And you're telling me this story from a different angle than my dad
Right.
did, but this is what the Germans were telling him. They were
Right.
saying, we're going to take you over. He said, you think you have to worry about the Russians? You need to worry about what our people can do to this country. And he warned me about this the same way. It's so fascinating that you came to the same conclusion going a different route as what my father told me.
Well, and it was pretty obvious to me. A number of reasons brought me to that. A number of reasons in that what I was experiencing as a school administrator, even in Placentia Yorba Linda area of Orange County, California, in that we had a lot of contact with two groups primarily, Mecha, well, three groups, Mecha and La Raza, and also the Nazis, the Nazis from a certain part of the county. I don't want to talk about it. A certain part of the county that were trying to infiltrate into the schools. The word infiltration is a big one, but it was very interesting because, as an example, Mecha, we had two very, very strong Mecha programs because I was also at Esperanza High School, which is
Tell
a big
people what
one.
Meche is real quickly in case they don't know.
Mecha is basically, it means that's the school movement of La Raza, of bringing back Aslan. Aslan, of course, is the mythical god that that it was found in Mexico,
Yeah.
and Aslan was the mythical country that was in part of California, and all the states that were derived from the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which was a result of the Mexican-American War of 1846, and of course that's a fallacy. That's a complete fallacy. It's brought upon by Trotsky of all people. He was the one who brought that about. And of course, with Trotsky came communism as was designed by Lenin. And of course, they used the Azteca creed, if you will, of battle and all the notions of how they can control people and conquer people and things like that, and incorporated that into their movement. And there's a great discussion about that, but the savagery that would prevail and so on from a Mecha takeover. So they were trying to take back California. They were trying to take back Colorado. They were trying to take back Nevada, or excuse me, New Mexico, Texas, and parts of Oklahoma and Montana.
Don't forget
Those are all
Arizona.
part of,
Don't forget
Arizona.
my state.
Now, Arizona, right? Big part of it, by the way.
Exactly.
But that was their goal, was to take that area back. But the fallacy is that that was not the truth. And that's where New California comes in, because in 1836, and it goes back to 1776, and that what happened in 1776 was the Declaration of Independence. Hello. And then from there it grew out. You had the Continental Congress running things, but then they decided, well, let's run a real constitution. So in 1783, they wrote the Constitution. Then by 1789 and 90 and 91, they finalized the Constitution. 91, they came up with the Bill of Rights. So those are the three definitive documents of our country. And at that point in time, our country was pretty much a Protestant country. It was the dominating Protestant country because the Protestants had been exiled by the Catholic Church and also by the Muslims and others, East and so on, out of Europe. And of course, that was a big deal. And that was because of Martin Luther. Martin Luther had brought about the Lutheran Protestant Reformation. And of course, the Lutheran, named after him, was started in 1517 when he put up the 95 Theses on the door in Wittenberg, which I happened to, when I, not 1992, I visited Wittenberg to see where Martin Luther did. And so when Martin Luther, started the Reformation, that was a whole new picture for Europe. That's really what ended up bringing so many Europeans to America. So the founding fathers knew of totalitarianism. They knew what monarchies were. They knew what oligarchs were. They knew what king and queen and all that. And they had good reason to not want to be engaged any longer with colonialists such as Spain and Portugal and Great Britain and so on. And so they wrote that Declaration of Independence, and that's what really started things off with the Declaration of Independence, the Revolutionary War, and so on. And when I was discovering all this stuff, I realized how the schism was with Protestant versus Catholic. And I experienced that myself as a kid because my mom was incredibly, you know, her last name was Mulligan. And she was the second generation after coming over on the boat. And my Irish relatives were indentured servants. They were slaves. That's how they got here. And, you know, the potato famine, the whole nine yards that brought them here. But my father is Protestant, you know, Scottish Protestant. Go figure. So the two of them get married. And they're in Erie, Pennsylvania, Sharpsville, Pennsylvania, I might add, actually. And
the home of Doug Hagman, interestingly enough.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Sharpsville, Pennsylvania. And
I actually grew up out and lives just outside Erie.
Oh, no, I was born in Erie,
yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Small
So
world.
I have my dad says I had Erie, Pennsylvania thumbs, which I still don't understand what that's all about. But anyway, in that time when the Catholics and Protestants, you couldn't mix. And that was a big decider with my family. My mom and dad decided they couldn't take the, you know, the persecution out of Sharpsville and Erie, and they loved each other. So they decided the heck with it, and they went out to California. I was 6 months old, and that was because they didn't know. I guess the thing was, are we going to cut the baby in half, and this is going to go to Catholic, and this is going to Protestant? I don't know, but. They came to California, and that's what brought me out here.
That's an interesting story about the origin of New California. I think it's fascinating, but I think it's going to have a monumental effect on American politics because it looks like we're going to get a red sweep, the House, the Senate, and
Right.
obviously the presidency. And I know that the upper levels of MAGA would love to have New California because they get two extra senators,
Right.
get a whole bunch of representatives right now. Is the population split between New California and California today, is it still 20 million to 20 million roughly?
Still is. Yeah, we're sticking with the borders. And, you know, as we went through this process to create a new state and, you know, the mechanics behind it, and I discovered anyway, the Declaration of Independence. And as a Christian, solid Christian, you know, it really hit me that one day I realized that I was looking for a way. How do we do this? What do we do? And so I turned to the Constitution, and I prayed about it a long time. And my experiences were driving me to go someplace to do it. I said, well, "Duh! I look at the Constitution Declaration," and that's where I found it. And when I realized that, I looked at it from a Christian standpoint. I realized it's a Christian document. It's not something else that's superfluous out there, and it doesn't mean what everybody's been attacking it means. And that's when I realized that we could do something with the Constitution. And that's what started our Article 4, Section 3 state split right there. That was about 2000, I think about 2010. And then I got hooked up with the Jefferson movement around 2012. And I realized, and I learned a lot from that movement. But the movement itself was flawed because they did not want to follow Article 4, Section 3, which is kind of you have to follow that in order to get as far as we did. And
Absolutely.
so by 2017, we were ready to go, and we declared independence in 2018. And now here we are with 57 counties that are engaged of 57 whole or part, not all of them, not the whole county itself. We divided it up.
The part I get asked this a lot, Paul, and I wanted to ask you about the division. Sacramento, this is the California now, but if it stays intact and there's a second California. Sacramento, west to the coast, the whole Bay Area, Los Angeles, pretty much everything in between, and down to Orange County. Are those still the boundaries of what will remain California under Governor Newsom?
No. There actually, it's more like islands. You have Sacramento, you have the Bay Area, then population centers, And then you have the Los Angeles urbanized area, pretty much. And you don't have the northern tier. That would be New California, which is all the rural areas. So the rural areas of California is about 90% of California. That 90% constitutes 20 million people, and 10% constitutes California as it would stand, and that would be 20 million people.
Okay, there's a geography problem here then.
Yeah, there is.
Old California would be not contiguous.
Correct.
I don't see how they could remain intact. And I'm willing to bet, I'm just going to take a wild leap in logic. This is why they're trying to resurrect plans like Cascadia to take California into Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia under a designation of Cascadia, or maybe why Eric Holder is still involved with CalExit to get all of California out of the union. Is
Right.
it my instincts on target, or how would you modify that?
Well, we're constitutionally driven, and we think that with our modern technology and our modern times, it's not unusual that a state has separate components to it. Hawaii is not contiguous; it's got the ocean to deal with. Alaska has many places where it's not contiguous. Michigan has places where it's not
That's
contiguous. I
true.
think Minnesota is the same. So
True.
this is not unusual. What we think to be contiguous might not be thought that way by other people, but I think that Southwest Airlines offers great contiguous travel to all three of those areas. And to me, it's a border. It's a flying border, but it's a border. But there's not going to be any impediments for them going across border from border. There will be examinations. I mean, like normal fruit, the things they do there, But they'll have freedom to travel from one place to another. There'll be no disruption in their lifestyles at all. But just the notion that you can't be contiguous, that to us is superfluous to the fact that you have rural versus urban. And that seems to be the thing that's the big tell for everybody is rural versus urban, obviously. And we would have 95% of the resources, yes. California would benefit, though, by us providing those services to them. And one of the ways that they're going to prevail and is by being able to pay off their debt that they owe everybody. California has one of the deepest debts; it's well over $3 trillion. And the state cannot handle it. It's not even trying remotely because of its communist background here. The governance, one party system, governance system. It's not even, they're not even remotely trying to control their debt. And this debt is spiraling out of control and it's going to be a catastrophic to the country. And that's going to be realized here in the next month or so. Many people already realize it. We've been to Congress already on four occasions and we've talked to some of these Congress people and they realize it, that we can't take the debt of California coming up, especially now. They get it. So what is the plan? And the plan is that New California will offer a different system for everybody. We're going to offer free market economy. Go figure. We're going to cut taxes. We're going to invite businesses back. We're going to kick the federal government out of our education system.
Awesome.
Old Arnold Schwarzenegger, who brought the federal government in when Arnold Schwarzenegger decided to surrender our constitutional rights, our 10th Amendment right for education, and give it to the federal government, which is a deplorable thing to do. He also got rid of adult education. Well, wait a minute. Adult education program, the largest adult education program on the planet that provided the largest assimilation programs on the planet of everywhere in the United States, he cut off. He fought to end it. That's the damage that Arnold, and I call him a Nazi because I think that's appropriate. He is a Nazi. We cannot get away from the fact of what these people's titles actually entitle them to be. They are Nazis, and he's a Nazi. And he was doing, is my opinion, as a school administrator and watching this play out. And I was the principal of an adult education program. Hello. He was very, very determined to make all this happen, especially giving up our constitutional rights to the federal government to educate our kids. That was the worst. And now everybody's got, genital mutilation on mind. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That was
He
my
did
next
that.
question, yeah.
He did that. So that goes by the wayside. And, of course, fuel gas rates and gas prices, no more extortion taxation like we have in California. California was built upon the Catholic Church principles, and some of them have been excellent principles, by the way, and some of them have been horrible. You bring in the Jesuits, and they have a different way of operation. A classic example of how the Jesuits behave right now with Catholic Charities, which is what are we seeing happen invading us right now, are Catholic Charities. And they're buying and selling people, Dave. This is
Yeah,
called slavery.
let's hover there just for a second for the people to know. Michael Yon and others who've investigated this, they've implicated the NGOs for bringing millions of people across our border without regard to their safety, the threat to our safety or anything else. And a big portion of that is done by Catholic Charities, isn't it?
Right. Well, listen, the biggest moneymaker right now in the state of California is child sex trafficking. That's an industry in California now.
It's across the country. Let me ask you an opinion question on this, because I'm formulating a presentation I'm going to do. The Diddy situation. I think the Diddy, I'll tell you my view, and I'd like you to modify it from your perspective. But I think Diddy's situation was intentionally aimed initially with part one at getting and forcing the Diddy participants of the celebrities out of the closet to wholeheartedly embrace Kamala Harris and promote her candidacy. I think that was the first person because it was blackmail. I think the second part of it now is to conceal the upper echelon that was involved, whether they be deep state oriented or Democratic Party officials or elected representatives that are Democrats, but they want to control that information so they can bury it from a Trump administration and avoid prosecution. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I think that first of all, my qualifications for this is I was trained by the Los Angeles Police Department Crimes Against Children's Task Force in 1986 in all this, and that was at the height of what was going on in Hollywood, which was, of course, the exploitation of child actors, and that's when I found out about the Dumms. That's when I found out about child sex trafficking.
Dumbs, you mean
That's
the tunnels.
the tunnels, exactly. That's when I found out that basically that children are for sale for sex. Babies are for sale for sex. I found out that Nicolae Ceaușescu at the time, the Romanian president, the number one thing he was doing was pushing adoptions. Well, they were making babies, and the babies were being born, and the babies were being picked up, and they were being flown to Los Angeles to be sexualized by Hollywood stars and moguls. That was in 1986. And then there was much more to that because I was being trained as a school administrator at the time. And I was recommended because of my background and other things to go to this. And boy, did I learn a lesson or two. The NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association, the North American Man Boy Love Association got up, and we heard his speech that they were making in Malibu. The guy made a speech to a whole group of people in Malibu about North American Man Boy Love Association and how it was going to flourish. And he was predicted that by 2020 we would be normalizing the conversation about man boy love and all the other things that went along with it. And I can never forget that. Like, God, this guy's a nutcase. Well, he was. But it was for real, and of course we were finding where I was working at the time, children that had been exploited, had been trafficked, and we didn't know what to do with it. And then we got the training from the police department, from LA Police, and I was in San Bernardino at the time, and they came over and trained us all up on everything to what to look for and what to do and how to work with the law enforcement to stop it. But it was big, but I didn't realize how big it was until Trump. And I realized working on a bunch of things when I first was introduced to Jerome Corsi back in 2010, and he and I worked on a couple of things. And then the child sex trafficking thing literally glared at me, and I said, "Oh my God!" And even today, I'm just stunned at how big it is and how out and about they are about it, because child sex trafficking is. And again, we're stopping this. New California is stopping it. We've gone down right now as New California State to the state capitol and demanded they do something about it in six speeches that we gave, which I think were epic. started to turn some things. But these child sex trafficking things, and the Diddy thing, it's long legendary what has been happening with Diddy and others in these parties. Yeah. They just got more extravagant with it when the rap scene came in the late 90s, or the 90s in particular, early 80s, 90s, I'm sorry, the early 90s, late 80s, when Diddy, not Diddy, but others started to really come in. And then it became...
Paul, do you think that Diddy, though, the second purpose, is to protect the elite involved from the Trump administration?
I don't think so, no. I think they're running scared, and they're looking for any kind of protection because they're not going to find it.
I got to tell you a second thing that's come across my desk. John B. Well's wife, Brenda, called me yesterday afternoon and to invite me on her show last night, their show. And she and I started talking. We started talking about current events. And she said that from two sources, they told her that some of the deep state elite have gone to Argentina for safe passage and protection from prosecution. And so obviously I hung up and I'm driving, I'm making calls from my car and I'm talking to people. I also found two sources that said this is their understanding as well. Have you heard anything about this? The deep state's flying the coop?
I have, and I've heard some stories, and I can't confirm. I'm going to say that this is probably happening. I can't confirm who it's happening with, and Argentina would be one of the places to go. Argentina is the home of the Pope, and also the home of Dr. Peter McLaren. Dr. Peter McLaren works at Chapman University.
Chapman University, exactly.
And he is a purveyor of hate and vulgarities, in my opinion. And but he's also from Argentina. He and the Pope used to work in a number of different things. You have a lot of different terrorist organizations in Argentina and a lot of Nazis. Let's face it, the Nazis are embedded
there. That was my next question.
It's going to be safe haven. The Nazis and their extreme sexual mores, which is what we're seeing right now. And the whole idea of the obscenity of normalizing what we see up here in Northern California and other places of California now, some of this behavior of child trafficking or sex trafficking, if you will, even, what they do. We ran into this problem. We were out in Redlands, California, a couple of years ago, and we were doing some new California state business, and we pulled into a hotel, myself and two other people. And I'm familiar with that area. I went to college there and lived up there and everything. And to me, I know the hood that we pulled into, because we did pull into a hood to a nice hotel. And so it was very familiar. And so the girl across the counter, she was a challenged young lady who had been challenged, and she had pulled herself out through Christ and became was an outstanding person to be employing in the hotel there. And she said, well, we're on the kind of a watch right now because of what's happening at the border. And I said, because we started talking about the border. And I said, well, what do you mean? And so she said that there was a process going on with the invasion that was taking place, and that there were on high alert because the night before they had five buses that drove from the border down to San Ysidro up Interstate 10 and into the Fairplex in Pomona. And again, that's the LA Fairgrounds right there. And that's a staging area for these people that are coming from San Diego. And they get out there and they go to the next level and all this other good stuff. And I said, how did that happen? So she explained. She said, well, what happened was that they did this thing where they got five buses. They took kids and separated the kids from the parents, put the kids in the last two buses and put the parents in the first three buses. And they drove up. And by the time they got to the Fairplex and everybody emptied out, nobody came out of the last two buses. So 200 children were missing.
Yeah, that's another touchy subject. And I want to go there. Then I want to bring up BlackRock real quickly with New California. But we have, and it's documented, 352,000 missing children. And I don't give a crap what country they're from, citizen, non-citizen. All right. When they enter this country, okay, Children deserve protection. And 352,000 missing. Missing. Ismay Orcas, Harris is the border czar, and Biden is the president. Are they subject to prosecution for criminal negligence, for example?
Yes, as they should be, because they're all in on
I don't know that
it.
I don't know that Biden is reachable because of immunity, but
Well, that's to be seen. I think
Mayorkas is
Kocher is
reachable.
absolutely, and so is Kamala Harris.
I agree.
There's
I
other
agree.
things working with Kamala Harris in terms of her background and her history in California that that's for another conversation. We could do that, but. She's had her hand in this whole child sex trafficking thing, absolutely.
Oh, I know that.
And
She
yeah,
provided cover for the Jesuits when she was Alameda County DA.
correct.
She blocked freedom information inquiries from the media on this. She refused to prosecute people that were clearly guilty of child trafficking. Yeah, Paul, I know. I probably don't know what you know, but I know the surface elements, and
Yeah.
she is an enabler of child sex trafficking.
Right. And it's a grisly subject, but for people to understand what goes on here, San Ysidro as an example, what happens is that a lot of these charities help to support the slave masters, basically the people who go down and buy people, buy children in particular. Guatemala is a big target, but they actually buy children. They'll go on the hunt for children that they seem to might fit a certain description because there might be an order in for a certain child, but they'll buy them. And they slave trade them. They bring them up to the border. If they take families, as an example, sometimes you'll find some of these coyotes that'll offer to move children up to California. And of course, when they come to the border, if they're family units, they break the family unit down. The kids have to go over here, and the parents go over there. So they break them down. The parents will never see the kid again. None of them. They did because they keep them isolated, and they'll suss them out. What they do is they grade the kids. They grade them like cattle. And there's three levels of grading. The first grading is for child sex trafficking. That could be infants on up to even 17-year-olds. But then if there's undesirables, then they perhaps will be used for human sacrifice or for organ transplants. And then if they're of value, say 10 years on, for foster families. So right now, California has a major glut on children to adopt for foster families. Now, this is a big racket up here. And this is a racket that I exposed as a school administrator in 2008. And the racket is that the foster parents become foster parents. They get hustled to a children to, with the children, and they go out and they end up bringing in as many foster kids as they possibly can under one roof. Now they'll get right up front a payment from the state if they're authorized by the state of $1,700 per child. Well, what if you get five or six kids under one roof? But it doesn't stop there. It starts with special education. The children, because they've been separated, have anxiety disability, and so you go in, you write out an application or a note to the principal, you want your child tested for special education, which they will do. They by law have to do that. And almost 100% of the time, it comes back with, yes, they have a disability. So that awards the parent another $500 from the state for disability per month. These are per month payments now. So you build that up to maybe as many as eight disabilities on a child. Now, the child's probably taking medications too, Dave. You know, that's the other thing that goes along with it. You go hand in hand. So, a lot of these homes now that are being built with 5 and 6 bedrooms and 3 and 4 bathrooms. So you can have 12 kids in one house or 10 kids in one house.
Crap, you
So you're
know.
taking in how many thousands of dollars per kid? So if some of these people are pulling in maybe $100,000 per kid per month from the state of California. So that's caught the attention of the cartels.
Yeah, there's one other element before we go to the cartels. What did Kamala Harris want to do? Build 3 million new homes at Federalist.
Right. Well, you get it now.
You think it's related to the trafficking?
No, absolutely. It's the largest growth business in California right now. You know, Gavin Newsom isn't worried about where he's going to get money from. He's got all the money in the world to pull money out of child sex trafficking and the cartels. This is the new. This is their new norm. I remember I told you the story about the NAMBLA guy back in 1986 talking about by 2020, we're going to be normalizing all this behavior. I can give you the descriptors of what he's how he said he was going to, but I'm not going to do that. But that here we are, and here we are. Here we are with this normed behavior, 2020, and all of a sudden the borders open up, and slavery is the number one item in California today.
The governor of Arizona, the illegitimate governor, I might add, I'm sure you've heard this, her husband, surgeon for transgender.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're making money on the deal. Okay. I'll just put it that
Sure.
way. All right. And the Arizona is run by the Sinaloa Chinese connection with bribes through illegitimate real estate deals. And I mean, illegitimate money laundering. And then they pay off these politicians and judges and appointed officials. And at the heart of a lot of this is BlackRock, because they're involved in the real estate aspect as an asset manager. In New California, do you have any way, and we only got about 2 minutes, are you guys focused on BlackRock at all and keeping their interest out in areas like this?
Yeah, we are. And we have a lot on our plate, but they happen to find themselves in a certain plate. But, you know, because we have so many different things going on at one time. Our biggest thing is we want to create an economy that is not going to have that going on. And we are not going to tolerate child sex trafficking or slavery at all. California was founded on the fact that it did not have slavery. It was the first state in the union to say it wasn't going to be a slave state. And now it's the largest provider of slaves in the world to this country.
Yeah, I know. We're by far and away the world's leader in child trafficking. There's no question. And the open borders are the main conduit. And of course, they become future Democratic voters. So we only have a one state government going forward. That's
one state. That's correct.
Exactly. There's no dissent.
You get rid of the Republic.
This is what a Kamala Harris election would have led to. You're absolutely
That's
right.
Correct.
Paul, we got a minute and a half left, and I want to have you back for a follow-up, but I'm and we don't have time to get into this, but I'm sure you're going to be having talks with the Trump administration, because I know for a fact from what I learned by going to various conferences with Trump-related people that they want New California. There's no question in my mind that that's true, and I'm wishing you luck with this. But also, I wouldn't be doing justice to our listeners and viewers if I didn't ask how they can follow your good work.
Well, the best way to do it right now is we're putting up a brand new website for New California State. Go there and get the latest information that you possibly can. Also, go to the New California Agenda21Radio.news. That's Agenda21Radio.news. We're putting up a brand new website because, Dave, my website was taken away from me by the provider. Isn't that nice? So I have to do a whole new
what
website.
What was your provider?
iPage.
Ah, so they're injecting their own politics. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. In the time we have left, can you give the URL?
For iPage or?
No, for your new website.
The website is, Agenda21Radio.news. Agenda21Radio.news or A21R.news. That was the best one.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a crowning moment for you. I hope to share some of the glory that's coming with you, as I will be attending some of your events. And I want to thank you for coming.
You've already attended a couple of them.
Oh, I am. I'm going to do it again. Paul, we're out of time, my friend. We got to run. But hey, thanks so much for what you're doing. God bless you. And continued good luck to New California. It's needed.
Thank you, David.
Take care.